Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. I'm Reginald Atatula. Luke Morrow in for the OG John Lopez. And then, of course, Figgy Fig, as always, rock with you. Appreciate you getting involved on the text line. 713-572-4610, as well as the MoCam Injury Lawyer live streams. Even if you think that we are Debbie Downers, or if we're just all negative, I'm...
I know he's being Debbie Downers.
I'm going to be completely
honest. I thought we just talking about the story.
I am... Please, let us know, because I genuinely want to have the conversation amongst folks that view differently. The idea that, you know, do you have a positive perspective on this?
Maybe we should have just put that on the back burner.
I mean, it's your biggest bat who you were looking at possibly getting back, as you mentioned, Luke, Dana Brown, the general manager, rather, is what I was looking for, of this team, kind of put it out there that in the next three series you could possibly see him return. And then a day later, we're talking about him being shut down from baseball activities. Like, that is a notable thing. And
that's no big deal, man. They got the win last night.
Which they did.
Who cares?
You add the additional context of this is not the first nor the second time nor the third time that you've had a particular setback. And, again, injuries are hit-and-miss type thing. It's not an exact science, and I give grace for that. However, if you have bad luck all the damn time, at some point, I don't think we can just call it bad luck. That we have to maybe look at what is attributing to that. And I think that that's a fair thing to bring up. Tell me if I'm wrong on the text line, 713-572-4610. Also, tell me if I'm wrong on this regard. The Rockets, obviously, doing some big things. I think we have been very fond of what their offseason has looked like with, obviously, the addition of Kevin Durant. But also, in addition to that, Dorian Finney-Smith as a 3-and-D player. The acquisition of Clint Capella as another big on this team. It feels like they are doubling down on what they found yesterday, or what they found last year, rather, in being a long team that can defend, and obviously a team that gets offensive rebounds and wins on the boards. But with all of that, there's a lot of people around the NBA sphere with the additional attention that KD brings to the team going, this team is the offseason winner, or at least one of them. And now, they're on notice to be champions, and we've talked about them in somewhat similar spaces. But Luke, is that a good thing?
Yeah, it's. I guess this might just be like my neurosis, but I always dislike when you're talking about teams that win the offseason and setting up these expectations. The Rockets have the second best odds now to win the NBA title this upcoming year. And since we haven't had a repeat champion in so long, the Thunder are the favorites. But, you know, maybe by default, you could almost slide the Rockets into number one because of all the parity in the league right now. And, yeah, it's just a concern because you could point to a lot of teams, a lot of examples across the major sports over the years that when we do give them the off-season title, it doesn't lead to regular season success. And the classic example, different sport, but, you know, when the Eagles made all these moves before the 2011 season to the point where they called themselves a dream team.
Yeah, I recall that.
And then they went .500 that year.
Was that the team with Vince Young?
Exactly, yeah.
Michael Vick.
Yeah. And so that's just one example. You know, I mean, everyone was very high on the Texans offseason last year, and then, you know, it didn't lead to the same, and that's a whole other conversation. That's a deeper conversation, but we could point to a lot of examples. So it's just that concern of when the hype gets too high and you get excited over what's happening in the offseason and things that aren't being done on the court in this instance, and still can overlook maybe some of the concerns or some of the flaws. And when the buzz gets real, I think part of it too is that I could be a contrarian, and so I automatically dislike things that become very popular. And
I'm
all about the Rockets. I love the Rockets offseason. But then I almost get a little worried when everyone's talking about, like, hey, this team is great. What a great offseason. And it makes me worried that it's almost like a jinx on them now because of the hype that they're getting this offseason from a lot of national figures.
Stay low and build, man.
And there's a lot of people that will subscribe to the nature of a jinx. I think the people feel you on that perspective. And I think if you've heard me over the entirety of this week, last couple of days with Chris Partee, I have been vocal about a couple of things that I think are, I don't know, I'm watching, right? Whether it's like, hey, the guard space of, okay, do you have the real lateral quickness in order to deal with a team that maybe would possess a couple of guards, or, you know, that would have a little bit of opportunity to move around, especially if like a man would have to guard up or what have you. That might be me looking at the small things and trying to pick a hole in what is built here. The thing that I keep looking at, though, is you're adding more pieces. I think it becomes a larger onus on the coaching staff to be able to build an apparatus that would allow this team to score more points. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I use to kind of maybe wipe that away and maybe lean into the idea that I think this is a good thing and we don't have to fear this too much, is, again, what I started with. This team is doubling down on a recipe that they already had, right? It's not like some of those other teams that we're talking about throwing back to, where it feels like they're changing up what they're doing in order to try and go bigger, right? They're not bringing in, I mean, although they are bringing in a new player and a couple of new players, they're not bringing in a different dynamic of player and trying to put this in a different space. This isn't the 2010 Heat, even though they ended up being like a good basketball team, where they're like, hey, we're building something and we will need to figure it out over the time. There is going to be some figuring out, as there is with any season, but they're still leaning into the core principles that they had last year and trying to do them better. Like, they want to be an incredible defensive team that leads with defense. They're doing that at a better level. I mean, there's a lot of people that are looking at the possibility of, you know, Dorian Finney-Smith as an upgrade to what you're talking about. Obviously, Kevin Durant as an upgrade offensively. But then not just having one, you didn't start last season with the double big situation. You figured that out as the season went along, and you refined that, got it better. Steven Adams, we know, has some load management things. So you go, hey, let's bring in another center that we can continue to do that with at a higher level. It feels like they're just going to keep doing the same thing, but better. And that feels like that has less room for a breakdown in trying to, you know, scale up. I still think that that does leave room for, are those weaknesses that you had, are they still there? Are they places that people can pick at, especially that now you're no longer the hunter, you're the hunted?
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like that notion of, we're just scaling up what we already did, which means that there's going to be less problems in trying to figure that out, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. And it's one that I did acknowledge to myself, this idea of, like you said, they weren't a bad team that went out to make these big moves to have to be try to become good. They were already the number two seed. It wasn't necessarily like trying to pair Kawhi and Paul George together and hoping mm-hmm. it works, or even yeah. Durant and Harden and Kyrie and Brooklyn, and like, okay, we're going to take this bad team, bring these stars in, Pierce and Garnett and Brooklyn, and suddenly we're going to be good.
Oof.
This Rockets team was already good as the two seed and now just trying to get better. So that is a big difference. If you go and you look at like the teams that spend the most in the offseason, usually they're bad teams and then they just continue to be bad, even though we hype up the offseason that they had. Turns out they're still just bad rosters and bad organizations. So the Rockets don't have that, which is an advantage. And I do like the Rockets offseason, but I just feel, or fear, I guess, that by leaning so much into the size that they have ignored that guard position. And it's something I talked about on these airwaves multiple times last week after getting Durant, that I still wanted some addition to the guard position. But it seems like they're going all in. They're really leaning into the double big, or even potentially you could say triple big lineups, and all of the size that they have, which is great. But I guess I would say I would want to make sure all bases are covered instead of kind of swinging the pendulum too far in one direction.
I'm with you. I'm with you there. The thing that I've been trying to tamp down, that little red light that blinks with me, which again, as a fellow contrarian, I feel you. But I think that the thing I'm trying to lean into is you do have guys like Amen Thompson, Tari Eason, Dorian Finney-Smith now, that seem like they have a decent amount of lateral quickness that I think if you utilize those guys in a particular way, you should be able to guard on the perimeter and be able to handle that. I'm still looking at where do you get the ability to like drive and dribble penetrate. And then are you going to be able to set up the likes of, you know, Dorian Finney-Smith and Fred VanVleet if he's off ball, and then even Kevin Durant if he's off ball, maybe in more of a shooter situation in those instances, with guys that can be those playmakers? Because that was one of the things that you were asking last year. And I think that Kevin Durant can do some of that, but I don't know how much you want to place on him in order to be your creator. And obviously Fred will come in and do that. You're asking Reed Shepard, I imagine, to do a little bit more of that. There's still some questions there, mm-hmm. as I think there is with any team. It's a salary, or not a salary cap sport, but they're trying to basically build more of prohibitive measures to make it pseudo salary capped in a way, with the soft cap and the ways that they're making that a little bit harder. You're always going to have inefficiencies. That's ultimately what I'm trying. It's like football, right? In the NFL, with a hard cap, there, it's built to make you so that you are not going to be impervious. So I'm trying to remember that as the Rockets build a team. You're not going to have an impervious roster, but you have a pretty damn good one where you can see the path to being a very good basketball team. And that might be most of what you can ask for at this time period.
Yeah, this team's going to be really good. Like, don't twist my words. They're going to be better than last year. They are going to be one of the best teams in the league. I really like what they've done this offseason. It's a deep roster. It's a really good roster. It's just that when you hear these people say, Rockets won the offseason, or Rockets are the team to beat in the West, and it's like, it just worries me a little bit of getting wrapped up in the excitement and ignoring the fact that, we've never seen a 37-year-old or older lead a team to a championship. Not saying Durant can't do it, but it would be the first time that it happened. So it would still be a unique scenario if they get to that ultimate goal. It's going to be a really good team. Just part of me, I guess it's my being neurotic. I get worried when everyone talks about how good this offseason, how good this roster looks. It makes me worried for what's actually going to play out.
So what happens if I reframe it as a 22-year-old or 23? No, yeah, 22-year-old. Or no, he'll be 23. He'll be 23. Got to do my math properly. Alper and Şengün leading a team to a championship. See, all you got to, you just got to reframe.
That's right.
All you got to do. Because, I mean, that's an all-star who obviously has an opportunity to grow, especially with better support around him. Because I feel like I have not acknowledged enough how Alper and Şengün obviously was really good and still has opportunity to develop with this team. But either way, I think we can at the very least bask in the excitement and the joy of this in the time period. And as we get closer to when we have to play basketball, maybe we can lean more into some of the questions and concerns that we have. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610, 713. They need to keep Cam Whitmore. I would absolutely see that, but I wouldn't want you to keep him if you're not going to use him, right? Like, that's the question that I have, and I think that would remain to be seen with the dynamics between him and Ime Udoka. But coming up next in the loop, let's get to our question of the day as we always do at this time. And inspired by Tony Parker having a full-on restaurant in his house, what 24/7 business would you want in your home? 713-572-4610. We'll talk about it next.